Blog Talk Radio.
Good Saturday morning, everybody, and you're tuned in to Horse Racing Today. Saturday morning, everybody. You're tuned in to Horse Racing Today on Saturday, January 30th, 2021. I am Eddie the Hat. Thank you for joining us. And as usual, we are brought to you every Saturday morning by horseracing-selections.com. And check out our website, folks. If you fell a little bit behind this week, go ahead and buy our Horse Racing Report Plus Selections, which is available. And we'll be able to help you out just a little bit with a huge single-ticket jackpot carryover, folks. It all starts today in the third race, and that the pick six single-ticket jackpot carryover is now at $710,207.56. So good luck if you're going to be partaking in that. And again, visit us at horseracing-selections.com, and we'll be able to help you out a little bit. Hondo is joining us. And Hondo, how are you this morning?
I'm fine.
And we've got, I got to admit, yesterday, this past week, and we talked about this on the show on Thursday morning, I was a little bit miffed that they went ahead and canceled the card on Friday because of inclement weather. And I know they probably did the right thing looking at the track today and talking to a couple of guys that are out there working horses this morning. The weather is clear and crisp. The horses are on the track working, and everything is a good thing out at Santa Anita. But again, I don't understand why they're just not allowing the horses to run in the mud anymore. It makes no sense to me.
Well, we're past the days of the 80s and 90s, obviously, when they ran on sloppy tracks. They're not going to do it anymore. So, you know, and I think I know the main reason is the animal rights people and the negative and the media, not the racing media, but the mainstream media who don't know anything about horse racing and only come out when there's fatalities. If they ran on a sloppy track and the horse went down, there would be hell to pay all over the media, the animal rights activists. And so, if they have to sacrifice one day of racing to avoid that, they're going to do it. It's as simple as that, and right, it's not going to change.
And, you know, the Santa Anita will make up the race date, obviously. They'll add a Monday card to make up for it. And, again, I'm sure they probably did the right thing. You know, I'll admit that by not running. But what I miss as a handicapper, and I know everybody else does too, is the amount of time and that extra X factor when the track was muddy, when it was raining. You had to use mud pedigree and you had to do a little bit more digging. And sometimes you were able to come up with a horse that never would have been anywhere close on a fast track, and they'd gallop in the mud and you'd get rewarded handsomely for it.
Yeah, and I'm a little surprised that they canceled so early. Not that
yes.
they canceled, but I can understand it if we have fans going to the track right now. Because, you know, you don't want fans showing up 3 hours before the first race and then them announcing, well, the races have been canceled. I don't know why they couldn't wait a little bit longer with no fans there because, you know, fans would not be inconvenienced. But, well, you know, whatever. It's just it's the new protocols that are being, you know, followed now.
Right. And another thing, you know, they were talking about this this deluge that we were supposed to get. Now, obviously, I don't live near Santa Anita anymore, so I can't say what the weather was like. I do know they took in a you know, a substantial amount of rain, rainfall. But what I don't understand is they were all concerned about this, but yet they carted turf racing tomorrow on Sunday.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any, you know, obviously you've got – today it looks like it's, you know, going to be a beautiful day down there, if, you know, from what I'm hearing. But, you know, what about the turf racing tomorrow? I mean, are they going to allow them to run on the grass?
I guess it all depends on how quickly that turf course dries out. You know, there used to be a time when back in the, you know, late 70s, 80s, if there was a grade one turf race scheduled, if it rained for 48 hours straight, they would still run that race on the turf.
I miss those days.
And now they're switched to the main track, you know, to the main track. But you know, I don't know. I read somewhere where this past storm was supposed to be the largest in a decade that we were going to get. The largest in a decade. And how many? I don't know how many inches of rain we ended up getting down there, but. I don't think it was our largest storm in a decade. And, you know, we get 2 inches of rain and it leads to nightly news out here in Southern California, which to me is a little bit ridiculous when there's parts of the nation that, you know, battling 8-10 inches of snow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you're calling off an aqueduct card because of inclement weather. I mean, yeah, they do it, but it's because they've got 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts and the wind chill factor is minus 10.
Right.
There's a little bit of difference between that and the nonsense that, you know, that was pulled yesterday. And, again, I understand it. I just don't, from a handicapper standpoint, I have to say that I kind of feel cheated by not being able to bet yesterday with you know, off-track, you know, conditions. And yet they ran up at Golden Gate, evidently because of the tapita, the synthetic surface.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That they haven't had turf racing, of course. They're not going to have turf racing for a while. Yeah, they ran on the track and under sunny skies, and it you know, it was a little bit chilly, but yeah, they ran.
Right. And if you did witness the races up north yesterday, you know Kyle Frey took a pretty bad tumble. Kyle has contributed to our show here numerous times, and we wish him a speedy recovery. Not sure if he's going to be back. He wasn't sure last night whether he was going to ride today or not. But anyway, we wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, Matt Dinnerman up there, who does a great job as the track announcer at Golden Gate. He reported maybe like 10 minutes after that spill that. He Kyle had gotten up or was moving his extremities and seemed to be okay and was transported to the hospital probably for precautionary reasons. But, yeah, it looks like he's going to be okay and, you know, avoided serious injuries, which is, thank God, normally the case with these guys. These guys, they, you know, you look and you watch one of these mishaps and you think, God, this guy, he's got to be seriously injured, and they're riding the next race. They're remarkable athletes, they really are.
Yep, and Kyle's had some pretty, you know, nasty injuries in the past, you know, with his knee, with his leg. He's been dumped, he always seems to get through it and comes back, so we wish him well, and I'm sure we'll be seeing him riding up there again in the near future, knowing his you know, his grit and his determination. So look forward to seeing you back soon, Kyle. All right, let's take a walk down to the paddock and give you the updated jockey and trainer standings. Obviously, if you listen to the show on Thursday, there's been no change. But for those of you who missed it, let's go ahead and give you the rundown. Juan Hernandez currently leads with 22 wins, Umberto Rispoli with 18, Joel Rosario with 15, Flavian Pratt and Abel Cedillo each with 14, Ricky Gonzalez with 8, Tyler Bays, Mario Gutierrez with 7, Jessica Pfeiffer with 5, and Drayden Van Dyke with 4. Turn the page to the trainer standings. We have Peter Miller and Doug O'Neill locked together with 10 wins, Bob Baffert with 9, John Sadler with 8, Phil D'Amato with 7 wins, Richard Baltas and Mike Pipe each with 6, Mark Glatt, Kristen Mulhall with 5, and R.B. Hess with 4. And we have a tie in the owner standings currently, Redham Racing and Ruiz Racing, each with 4. So there's your up-to-date stats and standings for jockey, trainer, and owner out at Santa Anita. Track continues to look, well, I would say, as Bob Lewis would have said, let's give Bob Lewis a little love as they're having the Lewis Stakes today. I would say the conditions out at Santa Anita right now look marvelous.
Well, you know, Dennis Moore is the best in the business, the track superintendent, and, you know, Santa Anita obviously did the right thing when they brought Dennis back after inexplicably
letting him go.
Well, there's certain rumors that I'd rather not get into because they are not substantiated, but supposedly some certain people in upper management who are no longer with the Stronach Group and Dennis Moore did not get along. And obviously with Dennis Moore's reputation in the industry, it was more the other person's fault than it was Dennis's. And, well, to make a long story short, Dennis is back, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, he does a good job, and the track looks, from what I'm looking at, track looks really, well, it looks awesome. And skies are blue, so we're looking forward to a nice day out there today. And don't forget about that $710,000 single ticket jackpot in the Pick Six. Folks, we've been talking about all week. I don't know if this is going to come to pass or not, but we've been talking about all week about a horse in the eighth race that we have really, really, really love. For those of you who are on the exclusive club that receive our text messages throughout the day, we'll keep you posted on this guy. We were hoping for a little bit more moisture and in the track, so we'll keep you posted as to whether or not this is still going to be a play or not. So you know, be ready, because as of right now, I would say it's probably 50-50, maybe 40-60 against, but we'll see. You know, as the horses run over it and they grade the track, it dries out quickly, and we might not get what we were expecting. So, anyway, hang in there. And that, of course, that's the eighth race today at Santa Anita. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have the second half. We'll give you a free play, and we'll also go out to Gulfstream and talk about the Holy Bull. We'll be right back. and you're tuned in to Horse Racing Today on Saturday, January 30th, 2021. I am Eddie the Hat. In studio with us, we have Hondo. And let's take a trip out to Gulfstream Park and the Holy Bull Stakes. And I'm looking at the conditions of this race right now. This is a grade three, $200,000 race at Gulfstream. The purse money at Gulfstream and at Oaklawn are incredible.
Yeah, particularly the purse money at Oaklawn.
Yeah.
You got and Woodbine last summer. You had at Woodbine, you had maiden special weight purses $100,000, like a stakes race out here, a grade three stakes race. So yeah, the purses. It's pretty tough for the owners to turn their backs on purse prices like that.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a trainer and you're running for $35,000 purse money, and if you went back to Arkansas, you're looking at an $85,000 purse.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. The Holy Bull goes today at Gulfstream Park. First post is 1:50 p.m. Pacific time. So if you do your adjustments with your clock, you'll know that if you're back east and you're listening to it, post will be at 4:50 p.m. That's how it works. Mile and a 16th on the main track. This is for three-year-olds and named after Holy Bull, who was not a bad horse in his time, was he?
No, pretty darn good. He was, back in the, was that in the mid-80s that he was running?
Yes.
Yeah, he was, of course, he was a speedball and, one of those kind of horses that, just would set some quick fractions and just run the others off their feet.
Kind of like Brickyard Ride here locally.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And didn't matter what kind of fractions he set, he'd just keep going.
All right, they line up in the Holy Bull, and from the rail out, we have Jer Fallies with John Velasquez at 20-1, Willie Boy with Alvarado at 10, Pape 2 with Reyes at 15, Amount, Luis Saez at 6, Tarantino, Zayas at 8-1. And I just lost my okay. And Prime Factor with Irad Ortiz at 3, Greatest Honor with Jose Ortiz at 5-2. It is Jose Ortiz, isn't it?
Jose Ortiz, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I know one friend who would scoff a handicapper who just is in love with the Ortiz brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Would ask me, how could you not know that? I think Irad by far is the most famous of the two brothers. But
Yeah, he just won his third consecutive Eclipse the other night. So yeah.
And but Jose can ride too. So don't let that kid you. Sitting on the go, 5-1, Lannery, and drawn outside the 9-horse field, Awesome Jerry with Tyler Gaffleone. At 8-1 in the morning line. That is the Holy Bull. So, again, 1:50 Pacific if you're planning on possibly making a small wager or two in that race. And grade three, $200,000 race. Let's talk about the Eclipse just a little bit. Any surprises? I was kind of surprised that Bob Baffert didn't get top trainer.
You know, I voted for Bob. To me, it was a two-man race. It was Bob Baffert or the winner, Brad Cox. I don't think that you could have voted for anybody else, first-place vote. And I've read some opinions since the announcement that it was East Coast bias, I don't buy that because I think either trainer was more than deserving. To say that Brad Cox only won it because of East Coast bias. The man tied Richard Mandela's record for 4 Breeders' Cup winners in one weekend. He oversaw a magnificent comeback by Monomoy Girl, who missed a complete year her four-year-old year. She returns as a five-year-old and was just magnificent. And, of course, he also trained the Kentucky Oaks winner, She Dares the Devil. So to say that Brad Cox only got it because of East Coast bias is bullcrap. And I voted for Bob Baffert. So either one was deserving. And the fact that Brad Cox got it, his first Eclipse Award, good for him. I tip my hat to him.
Yeah, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I mean, he certainly helped us a lot on this past Breeders' Cup with some of his horses that he saddled, and with She Dares the Devil and the Oaks. We released that to clients as an upset horse, and she came through for us. So yeah, I mean, you can't obviously say that he wasn't deserving, and nonetheless, I mean, Bob can't be too disappointed.
No, and Bob, Bob was deserving in his own right. He won 16 Grade One races, won the Derby and the Breeders' Cup Classic, the two biggest races in North America, with Fennec, who ended up being Horse of the Year, and of course, two of his other horses were also honored. Jermaine is the top female sprinter, and Improbable, who was a finalist for Horse of the Year, and also was named the winner of the older male dirt division. So, he made out okay, too, with some of his horses. And, the only thing I would have liked to have seen is I think sometimes the voters go a little bit too much on who won the most purse money in the jockey race. And, Irad Ortiz has been the leader in that for the last few years, and he's won the Eclipse. But a guy like, to me, like, you look at a guy like Johnny Velasquez, who had half the amount of mounts during the year as Rosario and Ortiz, and he won the two biggest races on Authentic. He was right up there. He led the nation in graded stakes earnings. He was a finalist for the award, but I think he only got 14 first place votes, which to me was kind of light. I thought that he deserved more consideration. But the toughest, as a voter, the toughest category to me was the jockey, because you had three guys who were more than deserving. And
not the steeplechase vote.
No, not the steeplechase vote. No. But you had three finalists, so all three, Ortiz, Rosario, and Velasquez, to me, were deserving of the honor. Ortiz got it and tipped my cap to him. That's three in a row for him, and he's certainly the top rider on the East Coast, no question about that.
Several years ago, when we were at Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, there was a press conference where he was there with his wife, and I will never forget this. After he got done with the press conference, he went over, met his wife, and they had their newborn with them, and he put on a backpack that obviously had diapers and stuff like that in it, and he turned around with the backpack on, Hondo, he looked like he was 15 years old.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was just, I mean, unbelievable. Anyway, to think that, to what he has done over his career is incredible, just incredible. Horse of the Year, obviously, no surprise either.
Oh, Authentic, hands down the winner. When you win the two, top races in North America, and you earn almost $7 million in the process. Yeah, it's just kind of a hands down decision. I voted, I gave him my first place vote, and I voted Monomoy Girl second on my ballot, and I believe I had Tis the Law third.
Yeah.
And of course, the third finalist was not Tis the Law, but was Improbable, which surprised me a little bit, but Authentic to me was an easy choice.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool that they actually had Authentic and the owner there when they were accepting the trophy virtually, and that was kind of cool, to see that. I still don't understand. I know I'm very low on the food chain as far as making decisions in the horse racing industry goes. But I still do not understand why In times like this, when horse racing needs all the positive news and media that they get, why do they hide the Eclipse Awards on channels that are only known by people that are in the industry?
Yeah, I know. You'd think at the very least I'd be able to get it on the NBC Sports Network or, you know, some network like that, FS1, which both of them have done a lot of horse racing in the past. But I don't know. You'd have to ask the powers that be.
And, you know, so what if the rankings are in the toilet, if they don't draw that much? At least put it out there so that people that are channel surfing can go by it and say, oh, what's this? Oh, geez, I didn't know. Oh, yeah, I remember that horse. He won the Kentucky Derby. You know, this and that. I just don't understand it. It's almost as if they want horse racing to fail or not grow. It's almost as if they've got some, you know, it's just, I don't get it. All right, let's go out and give you the free plays today that I know that this is why you're tuning in. And real quick here, we're going to go to the fourth race, and a horse here that that we've heard a couple of good things about, especially in the morning on that January 27th drill. We're going to go with Looking to Get Even. This is the three-horse, couple of bucks to win in place. I know he's 0 for 10, but if you look at the conditions of this race, they're very unique conditions. Maidens, fillies, and mares, four-year-olds and upward, that were bought at auction for $150,000 or less, or horses making their fifth start or more, or offered for a claiming price of $50,000. Well, obviously nobody's in here for $50,000, but even though this horse is 0 for 10, which is something we kind of shy away from with our handicapping, Mike Smith is sticking with this son of Ghost Zapper, James Cassidy's got him in the right spot. Couple of bucks, win in place, fourth race, looking to get even. And Hondo, who do you like?
In the sixth race, you got a horse named Loudmouth, the number three horse with Abel Cedillo. And this horse, the reason I love him, I love the horse that you look back three races back on October 25th, he ran for an optional claiming tag of $40,000, drew off and won by four lengths. Then they step him up to a couple of state bred stakes, and they bring him back at a level higher than what he won at his last time, and which today is optional claimer for $62,500. Abel sticks with him. He's won two out of nine at Santa Anita, and I think he's the horse to beat in the sixth race today.
All right, and folks, we've just given you two horses in that pick six, in the fourth race and in the sixth race. And if you're so inclined, you can use those as singles in a rolling pick three. So just remember us here when you cash for that over. Now, I would say that, wouldn't you say that it's going to be over a million in the pick six today?
I would say if it's not a million, it's going to approach it pretty closely, yes.
Just, you know, with all the pent-up, you know, not racing yesterday, I think there's a very good chance of that for sure. All right, well, that's going to do it for us this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Hondo, thank you for joining us.
All righty.
And, folks, don't forget, we'll be back with you tomorrow night for At the Wire, and we'll be giving you some trip and trouble horses. Also, when you visit our website at horseracing-selections.com, don't forget to sign up to be included in receiving our free newsletter, which is sent out every Thursday morning for you, which also has a hard copy of the horse to watch list and also a brief rundown on what happened the previous week. So, and it's free of charge, so don't forget, sign up for that, horseracing-selections.com. We'll be talking to you tomorrow night on our podcast At the Wire, which airs from 8 to 8:15 p.m. Pacific time. Only one thing left to do today, two things left to do. Have a great rest of your Saturday and cash some tickets, and we'll be talking to you again soon.